Tonight's scripture reading is taken from Genesis 45, verses 1 through 15. Please stand if you are able at the reading of God's word. Then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him. He cried, "Make everyone go out from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, so that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. And Joseph said to his brothers, "I'm Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. So Joseph said to his brothers, "Come near to me, please." And they came near. And he said, "I'm your brother, Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children and your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. There I will provide for you, for there are yet 5 years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have do not come to poverty. And now your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see, that it is my mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father of all my honor in Egypt and of all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here." Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck, and he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. Please be seated.
It's perhaps the most human of all the stories of the Old Testament. You know it, many of you. You know the raw emotion in this story. Have you noticed it? I mean, it could easily make the top 10 list of Old Testament stories that could be converted to daytime soap operas. The jealousy, the righteous indignation, the jilted woman's fury, the wronged husband's vengeance, a brother's tearful reunion, a father, even a pharaoh, a king's gentle blessing. So I wanted to entitle this talk tonight, "Walk Like an Egyptian, but Emote Like a Hebrew." But I settled instead on "Weep Your Way Through Thanksgiving." Because if you want to find the deep joy in the Bible, I think this is right, I think you have to follow the tears. I want to briefly give you three reasons to weep well. Or if, like me, you can't quite manage that, at least express some genuine emotional gratitude this Thanksgiving. So if you would look at the back of your bulletins there at Genesis 45, we'll make our way quickly through it. And the question here before the house, why weep? Number one, why weep? Why weep? Weep because God's work in your heart is more precious than all your reputation. You may remember this story, how Joseph was sold into slavery and exiled by his own flesh and blood, his brothers, unjustly accused at his place of employment, wrongly imprisoned, forgotten, passed over for years until the day that his brothers found him elevated to this place that God had placed him above all Egypt. You may remember, knowing the story, that twice before when Joseph encountered his brothers, it moved him to weeping. But on those occasions, he hid his tears. One of Joseph's gifts, I think, given all of those years of hardship and God's grace to him, was his ability to shed tears very readily. But look, see here, his is not emotion simply for the sake of it, is it? His open weeping is the way that he's going to introduce himself, to announce himself to his family, to say who he is. It's not just information he's interested in giving his brothers, but it's his heart that he wants to declare to them as he shouts out to them, "I am Joseph. I am your brother, Joseph." Now, the question is why? Presumably, because it's too complicated, too precious, too deep what he has to say simply for spoken words. With all that's happened here, and you can imagine it, can't you? With all the ambiguity of the sorrow and the joy at the reunion again, he can only reveal himself through the shedding of tears. You know, all the supposed benefits of crying, that it releases stress hormones and kills bacteria and gets you off speeding tickets, none of that is proven. But the one thing everyone agrees on is that tears soften the environment. They signal to others, listen, I'm being entirely emotionally transparent with you right now. This is me at my rawest. This is me as I really am. Tears hide nothing. And I think Thanksgiving, this is one of the wonderful things about this holiday, freed from the distracting consumerism of the modern Christmas, it's one of those occasions when it's appropriate to express significant emotion for one another. It may be taking a private moment to tell your mum or dad or a grandparent or a sibling or a child how much they mean to you. And Lord knows, by some of the stories that we've heard in our church family, how important it is that we say those things while we still can. Or it may be that you've been looking for an opportunity to tell a friend or a family member that you're sorry for something that you did this year or that you said in carelessness. It may be the time to laugh tomorrow together or to weep with the family over some gain or some loss in your lives. But you see, the example that's being given to us, tears are a marker of profoundly human moments for us, and we shouldn't despise them. The psalmist wrote this, "You, God, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not recorded? Are they not recorded in your book?" So the gospel has freed us to be truly human around others, because your tears alone or among others matter. They matter to the God who made you. Second, why weep? Well, weep because God's plans are more persuasive than all our disappointments. You know, the times in your life, if you want to evaluate a human soul, the times in his or her life where he or she gives thanks says a lot about their wider perspective. I want you to think about this. When Abraham Lincoln issued his Thanksgiving Day proclamation in 1863, the nation was still in civil war. And it would be for two more years, with no hope necessarily in 1863 of the outcome. And yet Lincoln gave thanks to God and prayed for a whole nation. Likewise, Joseph here, despite the years in exile, in prison, despite the years away from his family, and these are decades, gives thanks because he's been shown at last the bigger picture. And evaluate with me what he must have gone through. Surely anybody would say by any reckoning that this man has suffered horribly. Do you see this? Verses 5 to 8. It must have been quite the moment. This Darth Vader-type overlord in his brother's imaginations, before whom the text tells us that even after he had announced himself, they were paralyzed from fear. This same figure collapses emotionally in front of them and beckons them to come close. And this is what he tells them. This is the bigger picture for him. This is what he can see despite all of those years of loss. It was, he says, God who sent me ahead of you to save men's lives. It was God who sent me to ensure that you will have descendants. It was not you who sent me here, But God, into all of this, into all of this loss and to all of this suffering, and somehow, suddenly, it all seems right and worthwhile. Isn't that remarkable? If this really happened, and it did, and if these are really Joseph's words, and they are, isn't it a remarkable testimony to the way that God can work and weave his will into a human life? There are maybe, I was reflecting on this, maybe 50 movies, maybe 56, that are guaranteed to make you ugly cry. You know, not a discreet application of the hanky or something that you could pretend you got in your eye, but emotions that contort your face as your chin uncontrollably wobbles as you totally lose it. And don't look at me, gentlemen, as if you haven't sobbed over that part in E.T., when they see E.T., and it looks as if he's gone, and Elliot says, "I love you, E.T." And those things are about to get better. The thing that makes you care that they get better are the tears at that moment of despair and the tears at the moment of turnaround. Phone home. So the point is, for us, this, I think, I don't know what you're going through. You know, it's remarkable how hidden many of our lives are from each other. I don't know what's on your plate this Thanksgiving. I don't know, perhaps for some of you, what news you've received this Thanksgiving. I don't know what anxieties you have as you look at the future. I don't know the struggles you are having. But I want to encourage you, and I think we can do so from this text very clearly. Maybe, it may be that there are things that you don't know, even in this eye of the storm that you are in, of the plans of a loving Heavenly Father towards you. As you commit yourself, I think Joseph is saying, by his example, to the care of the Almighty this Thanksgiving, you can literally rest assured. That's the promise, isn't it, in Isaiah, "Thou wilt keep him or her in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you." And thirdly, why weep? Well, weep because God's mercy is more powerful than all our self-satisfaction. Has it occurred to you the one thing, after reading this story, that Joseph has every right to say at this moment, but he never says it? He never says it. And I don't think he says it because it no longer means anything to him. So what might he have said? Well, he might have said, "So, about that dream." You must be feeling pretty stupid right now. Who was right after all? Or he might have said, surely this is equally human in a dark way, "Forgive you, at this my moment of triumph, I'm going to exile and imprison you as you imprisoned me." But the Bible tells us that he could not stop from embracing them and weeping over them and kissing them, these people who have ruined his life. I think it should remind us of this person for whom Joseph is at best a placeholder. Of Jesus at Lazarus's funeral, weeping, consumed with deep sobbing, Luke said, for the sons of Adam and the daughters of Eve still caught in sin and death. Of Jesus before the city of Jerusalem, shedding tears for humanity that doesn't listen. Of Jesus on the cross who cries out, "Father, forgive them." Crying that for you and me. What an awful experience, we might say, Joseph had. If there was anyone, we might say, who had the right, given the way he'd been treated, not to forgive his brothers, it would be him. But we would be forgetting, of course, God and us. Listen, this is what Paul writes in his letter to the Colossians. "As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive." Joseph must have seen a glimpse of it. A glimpse of his own sin. A glimpse of God's unmerited mercy to him in rescuing him and his family and indeed the whole nation. And how much more then should you and I see that the Lord has forgiven you? That the Lord has forgiven us? Like he told that paralyzed man or the woman bent over from a spirit that had crippled her, "Man, your sins are forgiven. Woman, you are free." So Paul's saying, the Lord has forgiven you. So also you must forgive. You must release as you have been forgiven. So as you spend time with family or friends over the next day or two, perhaps as you wrestle with whether you want to spend time with them, this may be the question for you. Why should I let go of the resentment I've been harboring, my mistrust, my unforgiveness? And I'm not saying there isn't work to do. I mean, I'm not saying it's not very difficult. But this, I think, is the call to us. Because in Christ, where bitterness isolates and imprisons you, no matter how right or justified you think you are, mercy, the mercy of Christ, mercy to you, may bring you and them a hope and a future and a family they didn't think they would have again. For nothing, Jesus says, is impossible without God. Nothing, rather, I should say, is impossible with him. We have so much, don't we? We have so much, like Joseph, to weep over this Thanksgiving. So let the tears of joy flow. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that in Christ, this is the wonder to us that we are being remade. We are being conformed into the likeness of your Son. His likeness morally, his likeness spiritually, that we dare hope it might happen. His likeness emotionally, that we might be whole and freed, and freeing others with a portion of that grace which you have lavished on us, that we might pass that on. So, Father, I pray for each one of us that you might guide us and direct us this Thanksgiving, that others who know us and know something of you might have reason to give thanks. In Christ's name.